plan for helipads at 10 Mile Haines Highway gets the federal go-ahead, and the Upper Lynn Canal joins the state in raising awareness about domestic violence. It's KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. A local Haines landowner has permission from federal authorities to move ahead with a project to build three private helipads along the Haines Highway at 10 Mile. The project still needs borough approval before the helipads could be used. John Floreski submitted a permit application to the Army Corps of Engineers several months ago, and it was approved last week. The permit allows Floreski to use fill material in the wetlands and meadows at 10 Mile in accordance with the Federal Clean Water Act. Floreski hasn't commented publicly about his project or what it will be used for. He didn't return several requests for comment when he first filed his application. But in the permit application, the project is described as three helipads, each 59 feet long and wide, with three 39-foot-long approachways. He estimates using just more than 1,400 cubic yards of fill material at the site. The permit from the Army Corps of Engineers is valid for 5 years and has special conditions, including a mitigation clause. Floreski had his choice of two mitigation options, according to Randy Vigil of the Corps of Engineers Regulatory Division. Vigil said Floreski has indicated he plans to mitigate by preserving nearly an acre of wetlands near the project area. The permit requires this piece of land will be held in a restrictive covenant and maintained as a conservation area in its natural state. At the recent Haynesboro Assembly meeting this week, Interim Manager Julie Causey noted Floreski still needs approval from the Federal Aviation Administration to operate helicopters in the area, and the borough requires a conditional use permit to operate a helipad in a general use zone. Causey said the borough is expecting to receive a conditional use permit application from Floreski soon. However, Assemblymember George Campbell said, technically Floreski could move ahead with construction without a borough permit. He only needs the permit to operate a helipad. Borough planning and zoning technician Tracy Chu confirmed that this is correct. Borough code does not require a permit to build the helipads or a hangar in a general use zone. Code only requires a permit to operate them. Although she and Causey both noted it would be unusual to not secure a use permit before going ahead and building such a project. The candidate for Haines School District Superintendent is in town this week for an in-person interview and to meet the school staff and community. Ted Van Bronckhorst is the only finalist for the job at this point after a second candidate, who was also scheduled to visit this week, withdrew from consideration and took the superintendent job in Wrangell. On Friday afternoon, Van Bronckhorst will have a reception with school staff and take questions from the staff. A community reception begins at 7 p.m. Friday at the school library. Pen and paper will be available for audience members to submit written questions. The questions will be read by School Board President Anne-Marie Palmieri. The school board will formally interview Van Bronckhorst at 9 a.m. Saturday in the school library, and the public is invited. After the interview, the board will meet in executive session and could possibly announce a decision on the hire afterward. Today was a day to choose respect in more than 150 communities across the state, including Haines and Skagway. Choose Respect is a campaign started by Governor Sean Parnell and First Lady Sandy Parnell 4 years ago, meant to raise awareness of domestic violence and sexual assault. Alaska has the unfortunate distinction of having the highest rate of rape in any state in the country, and rates of domestic violence and sexual assault are among the nation's highest as well. In the Upper Lynn Canal, raising awareness and prevention is the mission and job of Jackie Majakis, domestic violence educator for SEARCH. She helped organize Thursday's activities in Haines, which included a march down Main Street to the A&B Hall, where there were speakers and presentations. She said Thursday's event had drawn the most people of any in the last four marches. Joining the group were students from Head Start, kindergarten, first and second grade, Haines Police, Mayor Stephanie Scott, and others.
Each year the theme seems to be a little different. This year I think it's going to be, as a community, we can do it. We're in it together.
At the A&B Hall, former Mayor Jan Hill spoke about the event. She serves on the Domestic Violence Task Force, and she said it has helped raise awareness about sexual assault and domestic violence in the last 4 years.
I'm just thrilled. We had school classes with us today. This was our biggest march ever. Each year we've had more people participate, and that's very important. It shows community support, and it shows community acknowledgement that there is a problem. And I'm just happy and blessed to be a part of it. And I think the first step to resolving an issue is acknowledging that there's a problem, and we've done that. Our community has done that. I think the awareness has increased incredibly, and I think today's involvement shows that or speaks to that. And there was a time that we didn't have access to the counseling and to the resources that we do today. We also didn't acknowledge that there was a problem. Many, many, many people just, you know, unless you're directly involved in it, you don't know about it. And so bringing awareness to the people of our community is an important part of the healing process.
Skagway had a similar event Thursday with Mayor Mark Schaefer and Deputy Attorney General Jim Cantor, and the Skagway Student Council held a special presentation. For more information about the Choose Respect campaign and resources about domestic violence and sexual assault, visit chooserespect.alaska.gov. An environmental activist from Oregon is the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council's new executive director. She's also worked in the region that's the focus of the organization. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Melina Marvin says she's been in love with Southeast since she visited Duren College. She interned for watershed protection councils in Haines, Skagway, and Yakutat, and she went on to teach Tonga science and policy classes, which were held on the water, in kayaks.
This last year, teaching my course, I started learning more about the industrial development plan for the cross-border watersheds, you know, at the Stikine and the Taku, and got pretty concerned about that, started digging into it. And so when I saw the job with SEAC come up, I saw that as an opportunity for me to really weigh in and have a say on that issue.
Marvin spent the past 5 years as communications director for an Oregon group called Klamath Riverkeeper. It campaigned to remove major dams on the salmon-producing river. That's one of the reasons she got the job.
I hope that she brings a whole other bunch of new tools in terms of how we communicate with our members and the community at large.
Clay Frick is president of SEAC's board of directors.
She's dealt with very complex issues and the Klamath River issues, such as water rights, tribal concerns. She brings that experience to the table.
SEAC's new executive director says the organization will continue opposing the Juneau Access Project, also known as the Lynn Canal Highway. The full plan would extend the capital city's road system north to a terminal with ferries sailing to Haines and Skagway. But Marvin notes there's only partial funding.
The facts are that the Juneau Road would not connect Juneau to the road system, which I think a lot of folks don't understand, but would in fact connect it to the Kensington Mine. So we're looking at a $500 million subsidy to a private corporation, which really employs a fraction of the people that fishing and tourism industries do, and those are the industries that depend on the things that the road will destroy.
That and some other anti-development positions put SEAC in conflict with much of Juneau's business community, its current mayor, and the Parnell and previous administrations. The organization, however, has undergone some changes in recent years. It's tried a collaborative approach to development conflicts with more negotiations instead of lawsuits. One example is the Sea Alaska Land Selection Bill, where the group worked for and eventually endorsed compromise language. Such stands led some environmentalists to form a separate organization, the Greater Southeast Alaska Conservation Community, or GSAC. Marvin's view is the more the merrier.
I look forward to, you know, working cooperatively where we can and agreeing to disagree where we can if that's what it takes. But I'm pretty confident that coming in, I'm opening a bit of a new chapter for SEAC.
The organization has worked with the villages of Cake and Kasan and other tribal governments on environmental protection and alternative energy projects. SEAC continues to fight large timber sales and is staunchly opposed by the logging industry, but it also works with small mills, tourism operations, and some other regional businesses.
What makes us a little bit different than some of the larger national organizations is that we live and work alongside everyone else here, and so we see a lot more sides to the story, and that's something we have to juggle, and it's something that we have to work out with our friends and neighbors.
We actually are partnering with SEAC on their food securities efforts.
Shelley Wright is executive director of the Southeast Conference. The Regional Economic Development Organization has long battled with SEAC, but Wright says she's seen some changes.
So I think some of their work they're doing is becoming a little less legal and a little more community-driven, but I still believe that they are very supportive of any of the lawsuits that happen within the Tongass of Southeast Alaska.
SEAC's previous executive director, Lindsay Ketchell, resigned last fall after about 5 years on the job. Marvin says while some issues may have changed, the mission remains the same.
Most of us don't have time to hang out in the legislature all day or read 30,000-page environmental impact statements, and our not-so-glamorous job here at SEAC is to do that on behalf of the public and then let you guys know when those crucial times are when your voice can make a real difference.
SEAC began in 1970 as a Tongass National Forest Preservation Group, mostly fighting large-scale logging. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting in Juneau.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.